वासुदेवाय। वासुदेव ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वासुदेव ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वासुदेवाय निशम्य 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 प्रेष्ठम् आयान्तम् वसुदेवो महामनः अक्रूरश्च उग्रसेनश्च रामश्च अद्भुत विक्रमः निशम्य प्रेष्ठमायान्तम् प्रेष्ठमायान्तम् वसुदेवो महामनः वो महामनः निशम्य प्रेष्ठमायान्तम् यान्तम् वसुदेवो महामनः अक्रूरश्च उग्रसेनश्च अक्रूरश्च उग्रसेनश्च रामश्च अद्भुतविक्रमः निशम्य प्रेष्ठमायान्तम् वसुदेवो महामनः अक्रूरश्च उग्रसेनश्च रामश्च अद्भुतविक्रमः। We'll go to the translation. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Please hear. Repeat after me. On hearing that the most dear Krishna was approaching Dwarka, magnanimous Vasudev, Akrura, Ugrasena, Balram, the superhumanly powerful, Pradyumna, Charudeshna, and Samba, the son of Jambavati, all extremely happy, abundant resting, sitting, and dining. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, please hear. He writes about Baldev. The first thing we should remember is the Supreme Absolute Truth Krishna is one without the second. But for his own enjoyment, he expands, and he expands in two ways. The first expansions are Vishnu Tattvas, and Vishnu Tattvas are non-different from the Supreme Absolute Truth Krishna. They are quantitatively and qualitatively same as Krishna. But even then, the original Supreme Absolute Truth always remains original in the name of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gives very nice example in Brahma Sanhita, that there may be one candle lighted originally, all other kind candles are the same, of the same quality and same quantity. But even then, the original candle, which is lighted first, remains the original candle. This is how we should be very clear regarding the different expansions of Krishna in the form of Vishnu tattvas. The most important thing is to remember is that these expansions are equally powerful as Krishna himself. And the second type of incarnations or expansions are separated expansions. And separated expansions as known as jiva tattva expansions. For example, Brahma, Indra, Varuna, etc., all other demigods, nearly 33 crores, they are all separated expansions. The separated expansions are not as powerful as Krishna. They are created for certain job, and as soon as that job is finished, they are also finished. But Vishnu tattvas, they never are created, and they never are born. There is no death for the Vishnu tattvas. For example, Balram is known as Ram also, Narasimha, Varaha, etc. All these expansions, they have the same quality and the same quantity. But even then, Krishna remains the Supreme Absolute Truth. Very correctly in Brahma Sanhita, Brahma repeats this truth. As explained by Brahma himself, we very well know that Ishvaraha Prathamaha Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. The important message from philosophy of Vaishnavism is that the Supreme Absolute Truth is only one without a second. And because he is one, his attraction and his pure devotees are always attracted to the one supreme principle. And it is a supreme animated living entity. From his effulgence, unlimited effulgence, so many other things are daily and continuously animated. And even then, the Supreme remains the Supreme as a whole. There is nothing which can decrease the capacity of the Supreme whole. There may be so many units are coming out equal to him, even then the balance is always Supreme, complete whole. This is the internal potency of the Lord. Nothing is apart from him, and even then the jiva tattvas are separated from him. They are in a way situated in him, and even then he is not in them. That is the internal potency. And he has three potencies, and within these three potencies the internal potency, antar shakti, is very important. And because the jiva tattvas, they are the manifestations of the external energy and the marginal energy, we, including our bodies and soul, belong to the marginal potency. And because we are in marginal potency, we can, if we wish, we can enter into his internal potency, or we can be covered by the external potency. And these things, when we try to understand, there is a beautiful verse in Bhagavad Gita to explain these things. Vyavasayatmaka buddhi is the internal potency. This verse is 41st verse in 2nd chapter. Vyavasayatmaka buddhi eka iha kurunandana. He says, Vyavasayatmaka buddhi, the intelligence which connects you from your limited capacity to the unlimited complete whole is known as Vyavasayatmaka intelligence. And it is only one. As every river flows to the ocean, there is no difference whether it is Amazon River or Ganges River or any other river. They all go to the ocean. The same way, our unflinching devotional service always flows toward the supreme complete whole, who is correctly known as Krishna. And because of this, the devotional service is always meant for Krishna. We may discuss so many other things, but eventually the worship goes to the Supreme Pole. And this is the Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. If the living entity is unflinchingly attached to the Supreme Whole, then his devotional service in time to come fructifies. And as soon as the devotional service blooms, then he becomes completely happy. The living entity cannot be happy without the linking process. And the linking process is very correctly known in Shastras as yoga. And this yoga has got to be linked with the Supreme Whole. Otherwise, the yoga is there. But if the object of yoga is different from the Supreme Whole, then it becomes the cheating process. And nobody can claim that he or she is the Supreme Whole. This thing, once we understand, our whole attention, 24 hours a day, not only 24 hours a day, but the whole of our lifetime, we are completely attracted to one Supreme Living Being only. And our mind is never deviated. It's very nicely demonstrated in Mahabharata. When Arjuna had nearly completed the archery, the knowledge of knowledge of throwing the arrows, then Drona wanted to test all the princes. There were 100 Kaurava princes and 5 Pandavas. He wanted to taste them. So he took them to the forest. And there was a bird on the forest, on a tree. So he wanted to shoot the eye of that bird. And it was the artificial bird kept on the tree. So then he started from Kauravas, all 100 princes and Pandavas also. And then Duryodhan came first. And he said, I want you to shoot the eye of that bird. So Duryodhan said, yes, you order and I shoot it. So he asked him that, what are you seeing? So Duryodhan said that, I am seeing tree. I can see the leaves of the tree. I can see the fruits of the tree. I can see you. I can see all my brothers. And I am looking at the bird also. So Drona said, you are not competent to shoot. You sit down. This is the main instruction, that as soon as Arjuna came forward, all the princes gave the same answer, that they see everything. If you see everything, then you cannot shoot your target. That was the main thing. So when Arjuna came, he again asked the same questions, that what are you seeing? He said, I am seeing everything. He said, what are you seeing now? You want to shoot. So he said, I am looking at the bird. So he said, now what are you seeing again? He said, I am only looking at the head of the bird. Then he says, what are you seeing again? So he said, I only see the eye of the bird. He said, you shoot. And then he shot. And it was the correct targeted to the eye of the bird. This is how our devotional service should be completely pointedly appointed to, targeted to the Supreme Whole Krishna. Otherwise, if we have anything in our mind except Krishna, then that devotional service is rejected by the Lord. This is very easy to understand. Many times what happens, there is a big question before us. That is, Shastras insist that our whole attention should be always through the devotional service to the Supreme, completely Supreme, complete, perfect Supreme, known as Krishna, and at the same time we have our own responsibilities. Same time our bodily maintenance is there. The same time we are doing so many material activities. Then how to balance these things? We have to go to the external energy. And at the same time the Shastras insist that you should always belong to the internal energy. The devotional service of the Lord with pointed attention, it belongs to the internal potency of the Lord. Being a marginal potency, we are all on the marginal, tatastha shakti. We can go to external energy as well as we can go to the internal energy. The Shastras insist that we should go to the internal energy. And we have to go to the external energy also for the maintenance, etc. So how to balance these things is very nicely described in the pages of Bhagavad Gita. And this is the practical side of today's discussion. We are discussing Baldeva's importance, but at the same time we should remember that he is an expansion, the first powerful expansion of Krishna. So whenever we remember Baldeva or through Baldeva, we should always go to Krishna. This is the instruction of the Shastras. But at the same time, as I told you, the practical side has got to be considered very seriously. We are staying in Kali Yuga. We cannot ignore our own practical side of existence. There are very rare living entities who can ignore everything and follow the unflinching path of devotional services. Out of millions and millions of living entities, there may be very one rare entity who may forsake everything and come to Krishna. Or there may be the living entities who have already crossed the age, 65 years of age or 75 years of age, and then they may decide to forsake everything and come to the Lord and have unflinching devotion. But in the middle period, before the age of 65 or 70, our mind is torn between the material desires and the Shastra's instructions. Please try to understand these things. And Krishna says very well in Srimad Bhagavatam that Atha Pumbir Dvija Sreshtha Guna Karma Vibhagashah Sanushtitasya Dharmasya Saunshuddhir Haritoshanam. We all people, Pumbi means the, all the living entities, according to the guna and karma, we are belonging to some varna and ashram. And the instruction of Bhagavatam is Svanushtitasya Dharmasya. You have to be situated in your own dharma. You have to be situated in your own ashrama. You have to be situated in your own varna. And then Saunshuddhir Haritoshanam. This is the art. This is yoga, karmasu, kaushalam. You have to carry on your activities, whichever activity you are doing. We don't want any disturbance in the society under the name of the devotional service. Devotional service is equally applicable to the persons who have crossed the age except the renounced order, or to the persons who are in the middle of the activities. It is the same. Your activities have got to be devotionally performed. And that Srila Prabhupada has trained us. Whether we try to understand Baldeva, whether we try to understand other expansions of the Lord, it doesn't matter at all. But always, through our own duties, we must try to go to the Supreme Truth. And it is very easy to understand. For example, you may have your own businesses, or you may be working for some factory or some company or something. You are engaged somehow or the other in the material activities. You are always dealing with the people. We should avoid to cheat the persons concerned. We always work with the persons. We should honestly perform our own duty. If you are a businessman, you may fix the profit percentage and then don't go beyond that profit percentage. That is how you purify your business. To the minimum extent, everybody is allowed to have his or own share through the work or anything and everything. And this is how, if you do your duty very honestly, then it is as good as devotional service. Because you are not cheating anybody, because you know that with whom you are dealing, they are all part and parcel of Krishna. The exploitation of each other have got to be stopped. That is the main instruction of the Shastras. And that is buddhi yukto. You must be always basically situated in yourself as a devotee, as the supreme devotee, as the pure devotee of the Lord. And if you are basically situated in this position, then all your actions will be eventually spiritualized. Whether you are working for somebody, or whether you have some businesses, or whatever work you are doing. And this way, millions and millions and millions of families, they have tried in the past, they are trying in the present, and they will be going on trying in the future also. Because unless we have appointed attention, even the material activity is also a failure. Suppose you want to open a store, then you have to have the pointed attention to the store. First the idea comes there, then you repeat your idea again and again, and then you catch that idea, you meditate on that idea, that I have to open the store, I have to open the store, I have to open the store, and you are meditating on it. Without the meditation, the material things also don't manifest. And this meditation is, if it is with Krishna, then your material activity also becomes very powerful. And when you try to meditate on these material things, then you inquire about the places where you want to open the store. Whether you want to buy the place, whether you want to lease the place, or rent the place, or whatever it is. Then once you have got the place, then you find out the commodities which you are going to sell. Then you find out the points wherein those communities, commodities are available. And this is how, without the meditation, the material things are also not successful. Forget about the spiritual things. And as soon as this meditation goes on with the help of Krishna and pointed towards Krishna, then your material activity also becomes completely successful. With this, we may go to understand the Baldev's appearance. And then we will try to find out the practical experience throughout this expansion also. Please hear. He is the divine son of Vasudeva by his wife Rohini. He is also known as Rohini Nandana, the beloved son of Rohini. He was also entrusted to Nanda Maharaj along with his mother Rohini. When Vasudeva embraced imprisonment by mutual agreement with Krishna, so Nanda Maharaj is also the foster father of Baldev along with Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna and Lord Baldev were constant companions from their very childhood, although they were step-brothers. He is the plenary manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he is as powerful as Lord Krishna. He belongs to the Vishnu Tattva, the principle of Godhead. He attended the Swayamvara ceremony of Draupadi along with Sri Krishna. When Subhadra was kidnapped by Arjuna by the organized plan of Sri Krishna, Baldev was very angry with Arjuna and wanted to kill him at once. Sri Krishna, for the sake of his dear friend, fell at the feet of Lord Baldev and implored him not to be so angry. These incidents we should remember, because these incidents gives us the insight into the activities of Baldev. Krishna wanted to have the spiritual manifestation and the material manifestation. So we very well know that he himself doesn't bother too much about these manifestations. So in order to take care of these manifestations, he had the first expansion of his own. And that first expansion is known as Balram, Baldev. The name itself suggests that Bala, Bala in Sanskrit means power. And extreme power, the living entity, the incarnation, who is very powerful, is known as Baldev. But we many times commit mistake to understand that this strength is the material strength. But it is not the material strength. The spiritual matters also requires the strength. And the spiritual strength very well bestows upon us the material strength also. Every material particle has anti-material backing. Otherwise the material particle cannot exist. We cannot exist unless the anti-material particle is situated in our heart. In this way, every material object has an anti-material backing. We don't see. We don't see this anti-material backing. And because of this anti-material backing, the material manifestation takes place. This is about the material manifestation. And then the supreme Vaikuntha manifestation is through the internal potency of the Lord, which is conducted again through Balram. Because it requires also extreme strength. And the incarnation, which has an extremely powerful incarnation, spiritually also, is known as Baldev. And that's why, for us, he becomes the supreme spiritual master. He is the first spiritual master. Because without his mercy, without the spiritual strength, we cannot go to Krishna also. In order to recognize the Supreme Absolute Whole, we must go through his expansion, Baldev, and he is the supreme spiritual master. And we very well know that Nityanand is the form of Baldev when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And Nityanand, that's why he is regarded as the supreme spiritual master. Without the mercy of the spiritual master in the parampara system, it is very difficult for the living entity to recognize the supreme absolute truth. And that's why Srila Prabhupada insists in so many pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, nearly so many purports, insist on this, that we should belong to the parampara system. And when you belong to the parampara system, then very nicely you are connected to Krishna. Without this system, we cannot be connected to Krishna. We had been to Vancouver, you know, and there were two Fiji temples, you know, Fiji Hindu temples. They all had migrated from Fiji. And these Fiji people, they were taken by the Britishers from India in order to work into the sugarcane fields. And then when there was a coup in Fiji before 3-4 years, quite a large population migrated from Fiji to Canada in Vancouver. And there is plenty of population from Fiji, Hindu population. They are all Hindus. But no doubt they are now contaminated too much. So they had two temples. Both the temples we had the programs. And in one temple we went, the pujari was in a pajama, you know. He didn't have any dhoti at all. And then pujari was going on the altar and outside the altar also. He will come and he will distribute prasadam and then again go back to the altar. It's a completely obnoxious way. Then the temple was open only for 2 hours on a Sunday. That's all. Otherwise it is locked. And they had the deities of Krishna, Radha Krishna, and Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji. And the clothes were completely thrown on the deities. This is the result when we don't have the proper spiritual master. We think that we are performing the devotional service. But we are not performing the devotional service. It is a joke. And I told them that this is because you don't belong to any sampradaya. Sampradaya means it gives you the correct thing. And definite sampradaya you belong to. We have 4 Vaishnava sampradaya. It doesn't matter what sampradaya you belong to. But there is something, somewhere, you are guided that how to worship Krishna. Then we have a faint idea that Radha Krishna worship should go on, or another Shankar Bhagavan's worship should go on, or Devi, Durga Devi should be worshipped, and everything. In another temple, it was worst. The whole altar was crowded, and Shankar Bhagavan's picture was at the top, and at a nice brass deity of Mahadev, you know. And Krishna's picture was at the feet of Shankar Bhagavan. I told them that this is not possible at all. Even Shankar Bhagavan is always meditating. And when Parvati asked him, that I thought that you are Bhagavan, on whom you are meditating? Then he replied that I am meditating on the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna or Ram. And this is how it is his instruction. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam that he is the supreme Vaishnava, and Vaishnava means Vishnu Bhakta. So if he is a Bhakta, then how can he be elevated than Krishna or Ram? And Ramchandra's deities they had, it was only Sita Ram and Hanuman. Lakshman was missing. And Hanuman was not at the feet of Lakshman or Ram, but he was standing by the side of Ram. I told them that this is not the way. This is happening because you don't have any guidance from the spiritual authority. This is the need. We are not fanatics. You please understand that we don't want to force the living entities to join ISKCON and take our parampara. No, we are not fanatics in that way. But there must be some guidance, spiritual guidance somewhere. And the guidance must be from the person who knows it. Now suppose we lose our way and we don't know how to drive and where to drive. Then we go to the petrol station maybe, because we know that that is the local people. And if that man is a local man, he should know the area. And then we take a guidance from him. And then we get the correct guidance. But you cannot catch hold of anybody. Maybe a tourist we come across, and we ask him, hey, do you know the roads? If he is honest, he will say that, I don't know. And if he is a cheater, he said, yes, I know, and point us to the wrong road. And this is how we are committing the mistakes. That is the main thing is to be understood from Baldev's appearance, that he is the supreme spiritual master. His guidance we must have. And unless we have his guidance, unless we have his study, and unless we know the scriptures, it is very difficult to clear our altars also. All over the world, ISKCON temples has the monopoly to have a sparkling altar. It's very pleasing, whatever we are doing. But our altar shows that we have an unflinching devotion. And this is the way it should be. The first thing comes in Hindu temples, with all due respect to them, the fresh flowers vanish. And there is that plastic, you know, something, plastic comes. And these particular Fijian temples were full of plastic. They come on a Sunday and they just clean everything, just dust off the clothes, some or the other, and put on something. They don't know what they are putting on. This is the result when we don't know the importance of the expansions of Krishna. As soon as we know the expansions of Krishna, then we follow the trend of the parampara of the spiritual system. And that is we are very proud of, because of Prabhupada's mercy. He has opened our eyes. And we do belong to a bona fide parampara. And because we are belong to the bona fide parampara, it is very easy for us to organize our devotional service. Otherwise we get lost. And then in Bhagavatam, there is very nice verse that how the people who are attracted to something else, they are completely misguided. You know, that verse is beautiful. Avismitam tam paripurna kamam svenaiva labhe na param prashantam vina upasarpati aparam hi balisha shvalangulena atiti tarti sindum. Beautiful verse. We can explain this verse anywhere we go. To the people who are completely misguided or worshipping other things than Krishna. The first line says, avismitam tam paripurna kamam. Krishna is paripurna kamam, self-sufficient. He doesn't require anybody for his own enjoyment. The same time, when he wants to enjoy, he expands himself, as I told you, in Vishnu tattvas and Jeev tattvas, in order to help him to enjoy. He expanded himself into Radharani in order to enjoy. He expanded himself in so many gopis through Radharani. And he had a rash dance in Vrindavan. And in the middle of the night, when the gopis, each gopi had a Krishna with him. So gopis were very proud. Said, now Krishna is with me, Krishna is with me. So he knew that gopis are proud. Sarvasacham, Hridaya Sannivishto, he is situated in everybody's heart. So as soon as he knew that the gopis are proud, he left Rasa dance and he took Radharani with him. And then Radharani became very proud. He said, Krishna, I cannot walk on this forest path because this path is full of thorns. So please carry me. He said, yes. Like a hand-packed husband, he carried the wife, you know. And as soon as he carried Radharani, Radharani was very jubilant and very happy and very proud, you know. He is under me. And he immediately vanished from Radharani also. Radharani was left in the forest. The gopis came and then she was able to mix with the gopis. Otherwise, the point is that he doesn't require even gopis. He doesn't require even Radharani. He is completely, fully satisfied in himself. Atmani eva santushta. Atmani eva santushta. He is completely satisfied in own Atmani. He is in his own self. He doesn't require. But we cannot be satisfied. We can never be satisfied unless we try to satisfy the Supreme Whole. And if we try to satisfy ourselves independently, then we are frustrated. That is our experience also. We satisfy ourselves by marrying. We satisfy ourselves by accumulating money. We satisfy ourselves with nice houses. We satisfy ourselves with the businesses. We satisfy ourselves from traveling from India to Canada or America or wherever we want to go. But even then, at the end of our whole endeavor to go anywhere and try to find out some satisfaction, we are completely frustrated. And this frustration has got to be completely stopped. Otherwise the results are very horrible, very horrible. I will tell you one incident. We were in Singapore and one nice lady came, you know, and she was crying with me. So I asked her, "This, what is the reason you are so much distressed?" So she said that I was always fighting with my husband. So I said, why are you crying then? Go on, fight. So she said, "No, my husband is dead." So now I told, "You are crying for your husband?" "Yes." So I told, "When he was alive, you were fighting with him. Now why are you crying?" So it so happened that she said that since we were married, we were fighting with each other. You know, that is Leela, husband and wife's Leela, you know, they fight. But they fight sometimes, you know. Not always. But this couple, from the beginning, was always fighting. And what happened? That their husband got really frustrated. He wanted a nice wife. Instead of this, he got this one. So he was working in this shipping company, you know. And he was an officer. So he had to travel from one place to the other place. And because he was an officer, he could take his wife also, if he wanted. So they were going from Singapore to Sri Lanka. And the voyage was nearly about 4 or 5 days. So they fought during night in their cabin. And then in the morning they were standing on the deck of the ship. And there also they were fighting. So husband was completely frustrated. He jumped into the ocean. He was completely tired of the whole thing. And he jumped into the ocean. And he jumped into the ocean. Then they tried to find out his body. His body also was not found. And then she started crying. And so I told him, "Is there any sense in this? You could have just come to your sense when he was alive. And now you wanted to get rid of him. So he is gone now. Why are you crying now? This is material world. We don't know what we want. We don't know what we are doing. And when something happens, we cry for the thing which we didn't want." She didn't want to stay with him. And when he vanished, she is crying. Or he is crying. The husband is also like this. The frustration is everywhere, without Krishna, without understanding the expansions of Krishna, without trying to come to this knowledge, and without coming to completely at peace with our own system, we will never be satisfied. This is the message we have to take from it. The whole goal of understanding these scriptures, or coming to the temple, doing the devotional service, or whatever you do, is just for your own sake, that we are always completely disturbed in our mind. As soon as you go away from the temple, you are disturbed. So far as you are here, you are hearing some Krishna Katha, you are singing some verses, or you are singing something, you are completely peaceful. But as soon as you go outside, you are not at peace with your own system. And because we are not at peace with our own system, we create the disturbance wherever we go. And we create the hell for the living entities with whom we come in contact. That is the main point to be understood. The whole point to understand these expansions and everything regarding Krishna is just to come to this point that you please be peaceful with your own system. There can nothing be wrong in the system. If you are too much worrying about your body all the time, you are on a bodily consciousness. You have to ignore your body and perform your duties, particularly the devotional service. Many times we have to ignore our body. And if you ignore your body, then body will follow you and it will be all right. But if you are too much running after the doctors or psychiatrics or this or that or that, and every time you feel that I'm wrong, you become wrong. You please ignore to some extent. And if you ignore and you make the point that my devotional service is the first thing because I'm not peaceful with my own system, then you become very nice. And then your health is also nice. Too much worrying about the body doesn't help at all. We may worry here and there, take some Ayurvedic, some medicine or something, or completely avoid the psychiatric treatments. Because this is a disease in the Western world. They run to say, because government is paying you money, your social security checks are coming, you know, every month, and money is there in the pocket, and you are completely disturbed in your own room. So what is to be done? So you find out, hey, I must go to something, I must go to somebody. They don't have temples, they don't go to the temples, churches are completely empty, and these religious processes are completely cheating processes. And because of this absence of this knowledge, the whole mankind, with everything available in America, there's nothing you lack. On the planet we don't lack anything at all, but we lack only one thing, and this is the Krishna. Because we don't allow Krishna to enter our existence. What to talk of the people who are outside? We are inside, and we are also miserable. As soon as you go away from this, you are miserable. And that's why gopis very nicely described in 10th canto, that how to get attached to Krishna. You know, they're very nice, you know. In 10th canto, there is beautiful words. I might have given you that they say that as soon as day dawns, you go for grazing the cows. You know, beautiful words, you know. It's coming to my mind. Yes. Atati yad bhavan ahanikananam truti yugayate tvam pasyatam. Atati yad bhavan ahanikananam truti yugayate tvam pasyatam. Kutila kuntalam śrīmukham chate jada udikṣatāṁ pakṣma kṛdruṣāṁ. This is the way gopis show us, you know, how to get attached to Krishna and how to ignore our bodily existence. One thing we have to be very clear, by ignoring the bodily existence, I don't mean careless. We have to act very carefully. As I told you yesterday, that we have to be fully organized in our material possessions and material work. Because this Kali Yuga, unless there is a continuous flow of Lakshmi, we will not be able to perform the devotional service. We should be very expert in these things. And then your devotional service will be very nice. But then you come to this Gopi Bhav, and then try to take the lessons from gopis, because they were the real devotees of the Lord. She says, that atati yad bhavan ahani kananam. Atati means you wander. Ahani means during the day. Kananam means forest. As soon as the day dawns, you are going after your cows to the forest. So we can't see you. Tvam apashyantam. And when you don't see you, what is our position is very nicely described. Truti yugayate. Truti means a fraction of a second. Srila Prabhupada translates this like this, that you divide the second, one second, into 1700 parts. And one part out of 1700 parts of the second is known as truti. Very little time. But she says that truti yugayate, it becomes like long, like a millennium. You know, if you love somebody and if he or she is absent, then a day becomes like a very long day. You know, you go run after your lover. This is our experience, that we don't want to be separated from our wife or husband if they really like each other, which is hardly the case. But anyway, that's quite a different topic. But the thing is that whichever thing we love our computers. I don't want to get separated at all. Wherever I go, I carry. You know, this is how we love to so many things which we should not love. But anyway, this is gopis say, that because we love you very much and you are absent during the day, so our day becomes very long. Our even second becomes long like a millennium. Fulfill these conditions, then Bhagwan is completely satisfied. And it is our duty in the human existence to satisfy the Lord. Unless you satisfy Krishna, your life becomes completely useless. And useless life has no meaning. And that's why it is useless. And as soon as something is useless, it is to be thrown in the waste paper basket or so, as soon as something is useless, it goes to the dustbin. If your life is useless, not satisfying the Lord, it is supposed to go to the dustbin. If you want to throw yourself in dustbin, then don't follow this process. If you don't want to throw yourself in dustbin, then you have to follow this formula. Bhagavan Samprasidati. And the first condition is Titikshaya Karunaya. These are the two conditions. Titikshaya, you have to be very tolerant. Tolerate always. In marital relationships also, if we tolerate each other, it continues. In social reactions also, if you tolerate each other, the society goes ahead. In families also, if you tolerate each other, the family continues. In city also, if you tolerate each other, the city functions very efficiently. In the country also, if you tolerate each other, that country functions very sophisticatedly. And the globe, this is earth planet, if you follow each other, if you tolerate each other, then the function, the whole globe functions very nicely. And in this universe, this is one of the globe. If all the planets tolerate each other, the universe functions very efficiently. And there are innumerable universes in the material manifestation. If all the universes tolerate each other, the whole bunch of material manifestation functions very efficiently. Otherwise, there will be accident. One globe will bang the other globe and both will be destroyed. Or one universe will bang with another universe and the whole thing will be destroyed. The whole manifestation functions on this quality. Tolerance. Here in our temples also, there are different personality states. Different mental capacities are there. Different modes of material nature are playing around. And even then, the temple is functioning. And if you tolerate each other, then the temple will function very efficiently. If you don't tolerate, then there will be clashes. And as soon as there is a clash, the other side is a destruction. And that's why we avoid clashes. We work in the offices, work for our own businesses, and we avoid these things. So this is the first quality to be cultivated. If you want to satisfy the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, then you must be extra tolerant. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nicely instructs us in one line, Taro Rabhi Saishnanam. More tolerant than the tree. It's very beautiful to understand this life. The tree, we hit it, feed the tree, mango tree for example, with the stone, and the tree gives you mangoes. You cut the chandan tree, and you are cutting, you are destroying the tree, but it is giving you the flavor. Never resist. Now if you hit a stone, somebody hits you a stone, what do you do? Yeah, nothing. And otherwise you run after it. Yeah, this is our age. No, scriptures don't. Then Krishna will not listen. The tree, if it is hit by the stone, it gives the mango. So somebody hits you, you are much better than the tree, isn't it? Huh? You are not better than the tree. Lower than the tree? Ah, that is America.
Yeah. No. I'll explain it to you. The thing is, there was one king, you know, in Maharashtra. His name was Shivaji. Famous king. So once what happened, there was one lady and her children were very hungry because 3-4 days she didn't provide any food to the children. So naturally the mother was worried that she should give some food to the children. So she went to the forest and she had a stick in her hand. So she thought that she will beat the mango tree and get few mangoes and feed the children. So she went to the forest. It so happened accidentally that Shivaji was also riding on the horse and going under the same tree. So she raised her stick and she wanted to hit the mango. But instead of that, she missed the mango and she hit the turban of Shivaji. He was under the same tree. The king was hit, so all of the soldiers were very angry at Shivaji. So next day, Shivaji called her in the court and he asked her, why did you hit my turban? So she said, please excuse me, king, I didn't want to hit your turban, but my children are hungry since they told me, and so I wanted to get some mangoes for them. So I wanted to hit the mango tree, but instead of that I missed it, and accidentally it was hit to your turban. So Shivaji thought, yes, if she would have hit the tree would have given her the mango. So, I'm better than the tree. So if the tree can give her the mango when she hits with the stick, then I must give her something more. And then instead of any punishment, the king gave her 10 acres of land and 10,000 rupees to till. You go there, till the land, give the food to your children. So this is the way. This is the way we should cultivate the tolerance. It's very easy to lecture about tolerance. It's very easy. But when it comes to the point, we can't tolerate anything. Cannot tolerate it. This cultivation has got to be there. And unless you tolerate, you will not function properly. Even husband and wife, if they don't tolerate each other, they cannot function. And that is the trouble in America or anywhere else. That is the reason why our couples are separated. Divorces and again marriage, this and that. So many things happen. Because we don't tolerate. In Indian families, even now, they are degrading very fast. But even now, we talk permanent. And if the couples are not together, if the marital relations are not sound, then you are not interested to do any activity. You just become lazy, and your life is completely... You die before you are gone. It's a living death, because we are not tolerating. This is the quality which will satisfy in the end to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. Titikshaya, come on. Titikshaya, Karunaya, Maitreya, Chakila, Jantuchu. See, very nice. Titikshaya we saw, that is, we have to be tolerant. That's the first quality. Then, Karunaya means merciful. We are all merciful to all the living entities. And that's why particularly, we don't touch meat, fish, or eggs. Because that is killing the animal. We don't kill for anything. And we don't touch those things. Because Karunaya, we have mercy towards everybody. And we are all part and parcel of Krishna. So animals also are part and parcel of Krishna. Nobody has given us right to kill the deaf and dumb animal because they are not able to resist. If somebody would have been there who would have been resisted, when you try to kill them, they will kill you. So we are very particular about this quality, to be merciful to everybody. This is the second quality to satisfy the Lord. Unless you have merciful attitude, it is very difficult to satisfy Krishna, to satisfy God. The seed of the mercy from our heart is completely destroyed as soon as you put the piece of meat into your mouth, or fish into your mouth, or eggs into your mouth. There is no seed of mercy. And because the seed of mercy is destroyed, then we have wars and so many troubles in between the countries, in between the societies, in between the families, in between the husband and wife. It's very difficult to continue without a merciful attitude. This is the root cause of our disintegration of the society. And once the society is disintegrated, once the marital relationships are disintegrated, it is very difficult to get the good city. It is very difficult to get the good country. And it's very difficult to find out the good law. It's very difficult to find out the good universe. And it is very difficult to find out the bunch of universes. The whole material manifestation is completely wiped off. And you forget one thing, that it is all one body. It's Krishna's body. So don't think that if you behave bad, what is going to happen? No. Even a single living entity does something bad, immediately the whole material manifestation has to suffer. What to talk of one family, what to talk of one society, or what to talk of one city, or what to talk of one planet, what to talk of one universe. The whole bunch of universes are suffering. And that's why, if you cultivate these qualities, unknowingly, you are helping the whole material manifestation to function very smoothly. If you want to go, we are getting there. The thing is, this is the way to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the way Srimad Bhagavatam is very intimately related with our day-to-day life. Our scriptures don't fly in the sky. No. They don't fly. They are very well on the ground. And our life has got to be organized on this way. Otherwise, life is completely a scratch. And this knowledge doesn't apply to one section of the society. It applies to the mankind as a whole. So human existence is same. It doesn't matter whether you are Christian, whether you are Mohammedan, whether you are Jew, or whether you are Hindu, or whatever it is. Doesn't matter at all. Everybody has to satisfy God. Everybody has to satisfy Krishna. Everybody has to be tolerant. Everybody has to be merciful. These are the two qualities that has to be cultivated. Titikshaya karunaya. Then second line gives you third quality. Maitya chakrila jantushu. Maitreya, you must be friendly with each other. This is the best quality. Now these three qualities we have seen in two lines. Repeat. Titikshaya karunaya maitra chakhila jantushu. Cha means definitely. Akhila means all. Jantushu means living entities. We should be friendly to all living entities. If you are friendly to all living entities, how can you coolly cut the neck of the chicken and put their dead body and stuff it into your throat? You can't do it. And if you do it, if you stuff those dead bodies into your stomach, what are you going to get? They are rotten dead bodies. They may be colored or medicated in the meat factories or whatever it is. But they can't improve. The nice wrapping doesn't improve the content. The contents are dirty. Please try to shun from these experiences. When are you going to repay for these things? And apart from sins, we are getting completely contaminated. Whole of our life, whole of our society, whole of your family pattern is completely destroyed. We don't see the satisfied living entities in America with all the riches you have at your disposition. Everything Krishna has given plenty in America, but he is not there. And that's why the society is completely rotten. It is highly mercy of the Lord because of his merciful attitude towards the living entities, particularly in America. He sent Prabhupada in his old age from all the way from Vrindavan to New York. Otherwise, I can't imagine what would have happened. Please take this opportunity and cultivate these qualities. Pitikshaya, Karunaya, Maitreya, Chakilajan, Dushru. Then third line, Samatvena is equal, equal being. So Sarvatma, towards every soul, we are equal. Whether he is poor, rich, whether he is knowledgeable or uneducated, whether he is small or big, we don't make any difference at all. We are completely equal to all living entities. Samatvena cha, Sarvatma, Sarva means all, Atma means soul. And if you follow these four qualities, Karuna, Titikshaya, Karunaya, Maitreya, Chakilajan, Sushma, Samatvena cha, Sarvatma, Bhagavan, Sampratiti, then Lord is satisfied. And it is easy way to remember these things. You take mercy, for example, mercy is the quality which we must cultivate to satisfy the Lord. Take out M from mercy, first name, M. Then equality, equal behavior with everyone, equal E, M E. Friendly to every living being, F, M E F. Then tolerance, T, MEP. If you remember MEP, M E F T. What word do you remember? Men. Spell it. What it stands for? Yes. Joy. Joy. Completely satisfied. If you remember this men, now sing the words like this. Titikshaya Karunaya. Oh, he's smiling. Titikshaya Karunaya Maitreya Chakhilajantuchu Samatvena cha Sarvatma Bhagavan Sampratitati. Do you remember now? So if you cultivate these four qualities, Lord will be completely satisfied. Otherwise, He will be angry with you. Smash your head, eh? You have to cultivate these four qualities. Yeah. So now, we recite 12th chapter. Yeah. Have you taken 12th chapter? Yes. Yeah. Repeat after. Only Sanskrit. Yeah. Arjuna Vacha Evam Satade Yuktaye. Evam satade yuktaye bhaktastvam pariyupasate echapi aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittamaha. Shri Bhagavan vacha maya vishya manoimam Nitya yukta upasate Shraddhaya pariyopetas Teme yuktatama mata. And then Lord continues to explain what Bhakti Yoga is. So please, I leave it to you to study the whole chapter. Now we go in 7th chapter, verse number 28. 7:28. It's a beautiful verse. Esham to antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam drihavritaha. Always we have a doubt in our mind that who worships the Lord. Here again, Krishna gives you two qualities. If you cultivate these two qualities, then you get out of the duality of the material world. That is happiness, distress, long, short, winning, losing. These are all the dualities. And we have to get out of these dualities. We should be equal any time and every time. Whether we lose everything or what, or whether we gain everything or what, doesn't matter at all. That's why the devotional service of the Lord remains always same in whichever condition you are. This is worth point, understanding this point. Devotional service means bhakti. Even if you lose everything and you are staying under the tree, even then you can carry on the devotional service. Or you may have a hut with you and you will be able to carry on the devotional service. Or you may have a palace, you will be able to carry on the devotional service. It doesn't matter at all what condition you are in. The same way, you may be a child, you can do bhakti. You may be adult youth, you can do bhakti. You may be middle-aged man, you can carry on with bhakti. You may be advanced-aged man, you could be carry on bhakti. If you are completely dwindling body, even then you can carry on the devotional service. Whether you are poor or rich, in what, whichever country you are in, maybe in India, in Africa, or in Asian countries, or Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, or any other country on this planet, you can carry on the devotional service. The devotional service doesn't require any material condition. And because bhakti doesn't depend upon the material conditions, it is known as transcendental. It transcends. You know the meaning of transcend? Transcends. We are driving on the road, suppose. If you are driving on the road, you are controlled by the laws of the road. You have to keep to right. You cannot go to left. And if you go, drive there on the left, then you may have the accident or you are punished because you are on the road. But have you seen any time aeroplanes stopping near red light? No, why? It's transcend. That is the meaning of transcendence. Bhakti, it transcends. It doesn't depend upon any material condition. Any material condition. And that's why Lord Hanuman sings very nice verse in 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. You hear that verse. It shows that bhakti doesn't depend any of the material condition. In any condition of life, you can just change. If you have a beach with you, or even if you don't have, you have the fingers here. You just, there are finger cuts here. The 14. You just start chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. And you go on counting. There is nothing is needed. In any condition of life, you can do it. And that's why Lord Hanuman prays to Ram. He says, Lord Ram, you are so very kind that I don't have any qualification. And then even then, you have accepted me as your servant. And not only that, but because of the unflinching service attitude to Lord Ram, Hanuman is benedicted. And Ram said to him that wherever I will be, you will be with me. And you can see any time, as soon as there is an altar from Ram, Lakshman and Sita, Hanuman is also there. Without the Hanuman, the deities are not complete. This is the benediction he has received. And he didn't have any qualification. And in this verse, he sings very nicely and gives this idea. You know? Please hear the verse. Na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam na vang na buddhi akritistocha etu taihi visrishta napino vanaukasas चकार सके बत लक्ष्मण ग्रजा. ब्यूटिफुल भागवत कुड बी वेरी नाइस टू सांग. यू प्लीज गेट इन टू भगवद गीता एंड श्रीमद भागवतम. दीज स्क्रिप्चर्स आर टू बी स्टडीड डेली. एवरी सेकेंड ऑफ एक्सिस्टेंस, यूर एक्सिस्टेंस इज मेंट फॉर द स्टडी ऑफ दीज स्क्रिप्चर्स. एज आई टोल्ड यू दैट अवर स्क्रिप्चर्स आर नॉट फ्लाइंग इन द स्काई, दे आर वेरी मच इंटीमेटली कनेक्टेड विथ यूर डे टू डे लाइफ, सो दैट यूर भक्ति becomes unflinching on a strong foundation. Unless you have a strong foundation of devotional service, you will not be successful materially also. That is our experience and it is the instructions of the scriptures. You understand these words now. Na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam na vang na buddhe na chakriti stoshetu. Beautiful two lines. Na janmanunam, I don't have any high birth. It's a monkey's birth. Hanuman's birth. He's not even a human being. He says, I don't have high birth. Na janmanunam, mahato na saubhagam. I don't have any riches with me. I'm not a very rich person staying in a palace or staying in America. Monkey may stay in America, but monkey may be in Indonesia. Monkey is monkey. You know? So if you become monkey-like, America will not help you. So you are a monkey. Monkey doesn't make any difference. Whether he is in America or Africa, I think he is more happy in African jungles than America. So this is how we become monkeys. And so Hanuman says that I don't have high parentage. I don't have any good fortune. Na janmanunam mahato. Mahato means mahan. I am not great. So bhagam. I'm not having good fortune. I don't have anything. Navang, I don't have any speech. I can't utter Ram very clearly. Navang, na buddhi, I don't have any intelligence. And these things are completely absent. No akriti, I don't have a beautiful body. Nothing at all. Completely ugly body, full of hair. These things are completely absent from my existence. Na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam na vang na buddhi na cha akriti dosha hetu. I cannot satisfy Lord with all these things because I don't have anything with me. And then he says, taihi visrushtan napi novanu kashas. And on top of this, I don't have any residence in the city, Chicago. Don't have any city. Don't have Los Angeles, don't have any New York or something, Bombay or Ahmedabad or Delhi. And we don't stay anywhere. We stay in the jungle. With all these things absent, I don't have buddhi, I don't have speech, I don't have intelligence. My janma, my birth is not high parentage. I don't have any good fortune. I have nothing of these. And on top of it, my residence is in jungle. And even then, Chakar, you have accepted me as your servant. Lakshmana Agraja. Lakshmana Agraja means Lord Ram, elder brother of Lakshmana. Please, you are so very kind to me, Lord Ram, that even though I don't have any of these things, you have accepted me as your servant. And this is the main instruction to our own life, that in any condition of life, you can just go on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Loudly, please. Are you hungry? You raise your hand lovingly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Doesn't require any condition at all. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. And the same thing Anya repeats. Anya, the same thing it is repeated in this verse. So please recite this verse very lovingly from Bhagavad Gita. Esham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punyakarmana Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukta bhajante mam dridhavritaha. Please open the book. 7th chapter, verse number 28. Please repeat now. Sing nicely. Esham tu antagatam papam. Esham tu antagatam papam. Jananam punya karmanam. Edvandva moha nirmukta. Vajante mam dridhavrita. Now we'll go to the equivalent. Esham, whose, loudly please, Esham, whose, to, but, antagatam, completely eradicated, papam, you're not sufficiently speaking loud, please speak loudly. Esham, whose, to, but, antagatam, completely eradicated. Papam, sin, jananam, of the persons, punya, pious, karmanam, whose previous activities, they, dvandva, of duality, moha, delusion, nirmuktaha, free form, bhajante, engage in devotional service, mam, to me, dridhavritaha, with determination. Translation by Sri Prabhupada. Sri Prabhupada ki, please repeat. Persons, now they have not satisfied at all. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. It's beautiful verse, you know. It tells you two things first. Esham tu antagatam papam. Your sinful reaction must come to an end. And there is no way that you can bring the sinful reaction to the end. Unless you try to recognize the existence of your own soul in your material body. We have a material body, and this material body is, as it is, a dead body. Unless there is a motive power in the form of soul, your hand will not move. That is the difference between the dead body and the live body. Dead body, the soul has already departed, and that's why it can't move. But your body can very well move, because the soul is still there. And as soon as you recognize the existence of the soul, that then you know that your real identity is the soul. Nobody is a woman. Nobody is a man. Nobody is an animal. Nobody is a dog. Nobody is a cow. Nobody is a tree. It's all souls. And this change of attitude will bring you to tolerate everything. This change of attitude will force you to be merciful to everybody. This change of attitude will force you to be friendly with all the living entities. And this type of consciousness will force you to be equal to everybody. Because you don't see anything else but Krishna. Everybody of us are part and parcel of Krishna. Nobody is woman, nobody is man. Nobody is cow, nobody is dog, nothing at all. Wherever we see always the super soul and the soul together. And this is very difficult. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says very clearly, Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. Bahunam, after many, many births, janmanamante, at the end of many, many births, those who are knowledgeable, mam prapadyate, they surrender to me. And when they surrender to me, then what is the knowledge? Vasudevaha sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. Those who see Krishna everywhere, that Mahatma, that great person, is very, very rare. Otherwise, 99.9% we are always on a bodily level. And we think that I'm American, I'm Indian American. You know, we may be American citizens, but we say I'm Indian. So India and America both blend. Nescafe. Have you heard about Nescafe? No, Maxwell. The blend doesn't work. The bodily designations are the impediment in your devotional service, in your bhakti. And this is very nicely given here. That as soon as you purify your actions on this foundation, you can then be devoted to the Lord. Otherwise, you are always on the bodily level. And if you are on the bodily level, then you think that I am a woman, I am a man, I am a husband, I am a wife, I am a child, or I am father, or I am grandfather, or I am American, I am Indian. All these are upadhi. Unless you completely get free from this deluding energy. This is the deluging energy of the Lord. You are not your body, and you are thinking that you are body. As soon as you think that I am coming from Bengal, I am coming from Bombay, and we try to fight with each other. So this is east and west. There is no point in it. You think that I am a woman, he is Hindu, so we fight, kill him. There is no need of it. But this real knowledge is completely absent. And Srila Prabhupada is very merciful to open our eyes. Otherwise our eyes were completely closed. One sincere soul like Srila Prabhupada is able to convert the whole world. If we become sincere, all of us, how many worlds we can convert? So please remember his greatness. And you can be great, even you are Srila. He was telling us that I am not the special living entity. I and you are equal, but I am sincere and you are not sincere. He was very sincere. Get up at 1 a.m. daily to translate all these things. We cannot write a letter with all the table lengths and tables and wires, coffee and tea and everything. We take 5 years to write. And he wrote 100 books in 10 years' time and managed 100 temples on his own. He was the only one to cultivate these people. And these people are coming from the foreign background. And have you seen our altar? How clean it is. Anywhere you go to ISKCON temple and our altar are sparkling like this. Have you seen anywhere the seva like this? You please open your eyes. We belong to Bharatiya culture. We're coming from India or connected to Indian family. Our life is completely useless until and unless we come to this knowledge. We don't want to lock ourselves up in some samadhi or yogi or this or that. No, that is not meant for this age. You get out of this and you come to the field and you preach and you know yourself first. You study these things and then preach. You make your life successful and then make others' lives successful. This is our mission. This is our mission. If Prabhupada would have locked up himself in a samadhi, could he have been able to do anything? Because he came out in the field, he preached day and night. And he prepared himself for the whole of lifetime. And then he was able to do. Any other process is not going to work in this Kali Yuga. Only Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Yuga Kevalam. Kalau Nasiva, 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 Gati Anjala. This is the way to develop the devotional attitude. And unless you develop the devotional attitude through the centers like this, your life is completely useless. Please take this message and try to reorganize your life on this principle that Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudhulabha. And this point then forces us to get attached to the centers like this. It's a beautiful place, beautiful building, and we are struggling to maintain this. Please, this is not the pressure on any of you, but try to give this message to your friend and take this message. That is your pious duty to maintain these centers. Without this center, can you imagine where can we sit and discuss about the Lord? You say, Prabhupada's mercy, there's such a beautiful place, it's in the middle of Chicago. And we are very fortunate to come to this place. As soon as this point comes in our mind, then because we know that we have to see Krishna everywhere, and we come here and try to see him on the altar, very nicely maintained and worshipped, since 4 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Who does this? Tell me. Who does this? We have plenty of Hindu temples all over the planet, but they only open on Sundays. So show me the center that every day, 365 days, where the puja, the worship of the Lord, is going on from 4 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. It's only Prabhupada's center. It's our monopoly that we are the specialists in worship. Wherever you go, all over the planet in stone temples, this is the worship. And this is how Prabhupada did not give you the dry philosophy. On the one hand, he has given a philosophy. And on the other hand, he has given a lifestyle to follow that philosophy. And we are the heir apparent to that philosophy. You people are coming from Bengal. It's your pious duty to carry this burden of your own brother, elder brother, or father, whatever you call him. He has done it. One brain, one Bengali brain has converted the whole world. Today, every small child in the world knows the name of Krishna. Immediately, Hare Krishnas are taken very nicely in this, all the country. Hare Krishna, you must stop. Everywhere. Yeah, Jaya. So before we come to Srimad Bhagavatam, and particularly this purport, the first paragraph, in which Srila Prabhupada explains asakrut word, which means continuously. In order to chant continuously, in order to settle our mind in this, all other material responsibilities have got to be sorted out. And brahmacharis may tell that we don't have material responsibility. No, it's wrong. You have your own habits. You have to maintain your body. You have to have a few clothes to wear. Everything we require. Whatever position we are in, our material things must be nicely organized. And then you come to the purified mode of goodness platform, and then only you will be able to chant continuously. Otherwise, we will not be able to do anything. So this is how, please organize yourself, and then you will come to this platform. Hare Krishna. Let's stop here. Yes. So, have you any comments? You're a nice piece. Huh? Oh, I see. That's why you didn't know how to use it. You're not conversant. The thing is, if computer is used to assist us, it's all right. But if we depend upon it, then it's wrong. Otherwise, everything, many times we are satisfied. There are 100 books in a computer, nothing is here. So that should not. First we study, and then assistance is all. Yes, right? You ask. What is it? Do you know Bhagavad Gita? Yes. What? But have you studied it? You are going to study. When? So you didn't start so far. Why? What is Maya? What is Maya? Are you married? No, are you married? Married. But then what Maya? There is no Maya. Okay, please study. Okay? Yeah. So we'll talk about it again tomorrow. Krishna.